Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, everybody. The New York State Senate is coming to town. They're in court this morning over who controls the body. They're not enacting legislation. A Democrat may join the Republicans to get one bill passed. Governor Patterson is powerless to stop the madness. And the key senator in the coup can't decide which side he's on anymore.
What we have agreed to is not Republican control, but a bipartisan power-sharing agreement. Pedro Espada would be the president pro temp of the New York State Senate, and Mr. Skelos will take on the position of majority leader, particularly amongst his conference. So I wanted to clarify that because I think it would be misleading to say that the Republicans are in control.
So that was Hiram Monserrat, Democrat from Queens who voted for Republican power, speaking on this program on Tuesday. As you heard at that time, he said it was coalition government. It was bipartisan government. But here was Senator Monserrat in Albany yesterday.
You can't have coalition government with two Democrats and 30 Republicans. It's just not reality.
So, Hiram Monserrat, now the Hamlet of the East River, I guess. Let's get two takes on what's going on and what it means from a Republican and a Democrat in the state Senate. The Republican first, Carl Marcellino, Republican from Syosset on Long Island. And Senator Marcellino, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure to be here, Brian.
Was the circus music appropriate?
No, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it was a circus at all. I think you have an attempt by people to kind of establish some order and some legitimate government in New York State. We're trying to have a balance of power. Right now, all the power rests in the city of New York, and everything that was decided was going to the city of New York. There's a whole state out there, including Long Island, which was being used as the ATM machine to pay all the bills.
Wait, is that what this is all about? This is about a balance of power between New York City and the suburbs?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's certainly part of it. It is.
But wait a minute. Do Hiram Monserrat, who's from Queens, and Pedro Espada, who's from the Bronx, the two Democratic defectors, know that?
Yeah, they know that. They've talked to us. They came to the Republicans and asked us to join them. It wasn't the other way around. We didn't reach out to them. They came to us. And they offered to join with us and form a bipartisan coalition to run the government and to run this state in a better way. They were dissatisfied, so they said, with the way the state was being run, with the way decisions were being made. I agree. I didn't like the way decisions were being made. I didn't like the way the budget was created in secret by three New York City Democrats in a room. The members of the Democrat coalition did not even know what was going on and could not defend the budget on the floor, and some would not defend the budget on the floor. We had the MTA plan came up in secret, popped up one day. This did not help anybody in the state of New York except the MTA, which is an overbloated, probably as corrupt a group as you could find in the state, with sets of books that nobody believes. All of the burden was placed on the taxpayers, the property taxpayers, of the rest of the state.
So that's the position, legitimate position for your constituents in Long Island to hold. But you think this is why Hiram Monserrat from Queens and Pedro Espada from the Bronx joined a coalition with Republicans? It's because the MTA, which services New York City, was getting too much money?
I cannot read people's minds. I can only know what I do, and I can only account for my own behavior. They came to us. They were obviously dissatisfied with what was going on in the Democrat conference. They were not pleased with Malcolm Smith's leadership, nor was I, nor was anybody else. There are lots of grumbling that's been going on between Democrat members and Republican members.
And the three men in a room, I mean, no matter which party or split power has been the rule in Albany, it's always been three men in a room. Sometimes it was two Democrats and a Republican, two Republicans and a Democrat. These days it happens to have been three Republicans. But is it so different?
In recent years, Brian, we changed that. The expansion was to bring in both minority leaders into the situation and into the meetings. Conference committees, for good or ill, were created and were held. I grant you they weren't as powerful as they should have been, but they were there, and at least it was done in public. We had this year was a total disgrace. was an absolute total disgrace at the way it was run. We increased double-digit increases in spending when times were extremely tough. The economy is tanking in the nation, and New York State is increasing spending in double digits and increasing taxes in double digits. It's an unconscionable thing to do. It was a bad idea.
Didn't Hiram Montserrat and Pedro Espada vote for Democratic tax and spend bills?
Yes, they did, and Mr. Espada has stated that he was ashamed of what he did. He was sorry he voted for the budget. This is you know, a process that's going on. I grant you, it's like making sausage. You know, nobody likes to see the process. You want a better result at the end.
Where does Hiram Montserrat stand? We heard his one way on Tuesday, his another way yesterday. Is he with you or against you?
I'm not sure yet. Right now, the number is 31-31. And if Mr. Montserrat comes back to the fold with us, I would hope and welcome him. We could govern. We could go ahead on Monday and start passing bills. If Mr. Montserrat goes the other way, it's 31-31. That would mean that it would become necessary for the Democrats and the Republicans to sit down and talk. Both sides with 31 should sit down and talk. We passed on Monday rules changes that the Democrats promised to deliver and never did. We passed them on Monday. That significantly changes the way business will be done in the future in New York State. How bills will come to the floor, how resources will be shared, how staffing will be done, how bills will get out of committee, how bills will be debated and discussed. We set really good bills out there, really good rules out there. NYPERG has endorsed those rules before we passed them. They asked the Democrats to pass them. The Democrats said they would, but never did. We did it. And now that's the rules, the way the House will be run in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, and we'll talk more about those rules later in the program, but is Montserrat right in his new position that it is not coalition government with 30 Republicans and just two Democrats?
No, I disagree with that. I think it is coalition government. I'd like to see more Democrats. I'd like to see, obviously, more people join us. And we welcome them to come. If they want to come forward and live under the rules that were passed on Monday, where the empowerment of members, we term-limited leaders' terms. The leadership of the Senate can only last for 6 years. The leadership of committees can only last for 8 years. Members can get bills out by simply asking, getting a majority of members of the committee to vote with them and put a bill on the floor over the chair. I mean, these are real empowerment rules. This is what NYPERG has said they wanted. This is what the League of Women Voters wanted. This is what all the good government groups, the Brennan Center and everybody else said they wanted. We did it on Monday.
Let me ask you about the main two you're doing business with here. Mr. Montserrat is under indictment for allegedly assaulting his girlfriend. He's going to stand trial. Mm-hmm. Weren't the Republicans calling for his resignation?
Some were.
Were you in that camp?
No. Last I looked, people are innocent until proven guilty in the courts. And I think you got to let the court process go forth. If Mr. Montserrat is found guilty of the action he's accused of, then he should be punished and serve whatever sentence is required of him.
And
he'll be removed from the Senate. That would be automatic.
And Pedro Espada, Democrat from the Bronx, reading from the New York Times today, Mr. Espada has been fined more than $60,000 for failing to disclose his campaign contributions. The attorney general is investigating whether a nonprofit group he founded misappropriated money, and the Bronx district attorney is investigating whether his primary residence is in his district. Is that who you want to do business with to get a majority?
Brian, the nature of the beast is the word you used, alleged, under investigation, all kinds of things. If anything is proven in the courts to be wrong, they should fix it. If there's criminal penalties to be paid, they should pay them. If they're found guilty of a felony, they're removed from the Senate. Those are the laws. We'll live by those laws. These same people turned the majority to the Democrats in January. I didn't hear the questions raised back then. Where were the questions back then? The same two men flipped the Senate to the Democrats in January, and we have been with them all this time, voting with them all this time. They became disgruntled. They came to us. They come to us, and now all of a sudden it's a sin.
The Republicans, though, were shaking their heads at these guys and their actions when they were voting with the Democrats, right?
Some did.
Here's Espada talking yesterday about the flack that he's taking for crossing to support the GOP majority.
My home was broken into, burglarized. My character has been assassinated. My record has been distorted. But my mission, my purpose, has not been derailed or deflated.
You know that home he refers to being broken in is in Mamaroneck, not in the Bronx. Do you believe a senator with a home in Westchester really lives in the Bronx?
He has a legal residence in the Bronx. He may have another home in Mamaroneck. That's the situation. A lot of people have multiple homes. The residence he votes from is the residence by law that he can represent that district. So if he has a second house in the Bronx, so be it.
Maybe that's why he's joining you to represent the constituents of the suburbs, because he really lives in Westchester.
I don't want to characterize it like that. I think that's between Mr. Espada and the election law. If the election law has him in the Bronx, legally representing the Bronx, and he has a legal residence in the Bronx, then so be it. Where he has other houses is anybody else's business.
Right.
And I'll guarantee you other members of the legislature have second homes in many other places,
right,
other than their district.
But when people have second homes up in the mountains or something, then that's the kind of thing that people generally have if they have a second home, right? At the in the mountains, at the beach. Who has a home,
Brian,
5 miles from their from their district?
This is a free country. You can live anywhere you want. You can have a second home anywhere you want. Alleging that there's some type of misbehavior here when he has a legal residence, has been in the Bronx.
Well, he is under investigation for this, right?
That doesn't make it a crime. Let's see them prove it. If there's a proof, as I said to you beginning, if it comes through and it is proven in the courts that he has committed some crime, he will be punished by the courts. And we'll all live with that.
Republican State Senator Carl Marcellino of Syosset, my guest on WNYC, will get a Democratic senator's take in a couple of minutes. Do you happen to know anything about Democratic Senator Tom Duane of Manhattan? Reports are that he may decide to caucus with the Republicans in a deal to bring gay marriage to the floor.
I know about Tom Duane. Obviously, we've been colleagues in government for a number of years. I like Tom. He's a good person. I disagree with the gay marriage issue, but that's between us and our consciences. I do not know about any conversations, whether or not he'll come to the conference. And as you well know, there can be no quid pro quo here. That would be illegal.
No quid pro quo? You can't make a political deal?
You can't promise him votes for him transferring over. That would be against the law.
You're not for the gay marriage bill?
No, I'm not.
Are you opposed on moral grounds?
I'm opposed.
Well, you said a matter of conscience. I'm just curious.
A lot of people have different rules and different ways to go. I just don't believe that. I believe in the state constitution that marriage is between a man and a woman. I believe, as President Obama does and has said, that marriage is between a man and a woman.
So your conscience wouldn't give you an objection to the alleged domestic abuser, Mr. Montserrat, or the allegedly corrupt Mr. Espada.
You keep using the words allegedly. When they're convicted, as I said earlier, if they're convicted in the courts, I'll live and they'll have to live with the consequences of that conviction.
But you want to
until they're convicted in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty.
But you want to be credulous about them, but the wrong two people who love each other, that you have to stop.
Brian, a vote on a bill, on a political issue, and a bill on coming to the floor is not the same as going into a court of law and being proven one thing or another. My vote will stand. That's my belief. That is my concern. That's what I do. And I will vote my conscience and the way I believe it should be. Other members of the Senate will vote, and I respect their vote. They'll vote in a different way. If the bill goes up, I'll live with that. If the bill goes down, I'll live with that too. That's the system we live in. These two men were okay when they were with the Democrats. Nobody complained when they flipped the thing to the Democrats. I didn't hear any Democrat raise up and speak against them. Now, you know, what's the big deal now? All of a sudden, they're criminals. They haven't been proven. Nothing has been done in the courts. Everything is alleged. And you've been very careful to say that and correct in saying that. So, you know, we're moving ahead. And if something happens, it happens. I would hope other Democrats would come in, see the purpose and see the need to change the leadership that has been mishandling the way the Senate has been run since January.
We'll get Democratic Senator Jose Serrano's take on this in just a minute. I just want to give you a second here to say what your top priorities are in the legislature, in legislation going forward in these last 10 days of the session, once you get back in session.
Well, first, we'd like to get some property tax relief. That is the key issue here. We've got to cut spending and cut taxes. The state spends too much, and we tax too much. And that is our biggest problem going forward. That's why people are leaving our state, because they cannot afford to live here.
State Senator Carl Marcellino of Long Island, thank you very much.
Take Take care, Brian.
Democratic Senator Jose Serrano and his take on the coup in Albany next. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More now on the coup in Albany. They are in gridlock at this moment. It seems like 31-31, and nobody knows which way Hiram Montserrat is going to fall. We've heard the clips of him on this show the other day saying it was a bipartisan coalition with the Republicans. As of yesterday, he's suddenly not so sure. He says it's not a real coalition government if only two Democrats are with 30 Republicans, and he's going out today to try to recruit more Democrats to join that coalition. Meanwhile, the Democrats have taken this whole thing to court. They're claiming that it's not even legally legitimate for the Republicans to suddenly vote in a new leadership in the middle of a session. But Governor David Patterson on this program yesterday disagreed with his own party leaders.
Regardless of who were to win in a court battle over what happened on Monday, the real question is, how many senators are supporting each candidate? So in other words, even if you won the court battle, as soon as you go back into session, if you don't have the votes, somebody could call for a vote and you lose.
Witness for the GOP defense, David Patterson, on this program yesterday. Let's talk to Jose Serrano, state senator from the Bronx. Senator Serrano, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thank you.
You want to take your team's side in this court case?
Yes, and even more than the court case, I think it's important for listeners to know that what this really amounts to is a GOP power grab. It has nothing to do with reform. So I think the governor's correct. I mean, the court case can we definitely need to look at the legality of what happened on the floor of the Senate that day. But ultimately, what this was the Republican conference seeking to undo the will of the people who voted in the last election to put in power a Democratic state Senate for the first time in over 40 years. So what they've done is turn back the clock 40 years on so many progressive movements, so many pieces of legislation, and so much of what the people of the state of New York wanted.
But I don't know if you were listening to Senator Marcellino from Long Island just a minute ago, the Republican, who said the caucus or the Senate was very poorly run under Malcolm Smith. Even Democrats know that it was very poorly run on under Malcolm Smith, and that the old three men in a room system, which was supposed to start breaking up, power was supposed to be more dispersed among more of the elected officials in Albany, got even tighter under this administration with Malcolm Smith. The minority wasn't invited to meetings. There was less distribution of money. And so you could say this is about Republican control and not about good government, but there are some reforms that they did actually institute earlier in the week, like a six-year term limit on who the majority leader is, no more Joe Bruno, Senate Majority Leader for life, more equal distribution of spending for member items in their districts, and things like that. Why couldn't you guys do that?
Brian, I disagree wholeheartedly with what the Republican conference said. When you consider that for the first time in so many years, we've had movement on Rockefeller drug law reform, when you see that we were poised, after only 5 months, during the toughest fiscal crisis that our state has ever seen, to move on progressive bills that are really important, when you consider that even I had a bill that would create federal stimulus money oversight legislation, something that would make us make our state the benchmark in federal stimulus oversight. All of these pieces of legislation have fallen by the wayside in the name of so-called Republican reform, which I find quite laughable when you consider that they had 40 years or more to create reforms in the state Senate, and they did nothing. They would snicker and laugh whenever we would get up on the floor when we were in the minority to talk about
it. Well, so you have your policy differences with the Republicans. You want progressive legislation, as you were just saying. Senator Marcellino wants property tax relief.
And it's important also, I did hear him admit, with something that we all knew, a very thinly veiled secret on their part, that the Republican agenda is a very anti-New York City agenda. So much for unity, so much for one New York, when it's been proven time and time again that the Republican conference is so hostile towards the city of New York and have no interest in anything that could ever benefit the city, which in turn hurts the entire state.
Well, he said New York City is using Long Island as its ATM machine, for example, in the new taxes that are going to fund the MTA.
No, we're one New York, and the truth of the matter is that New York City is the economic engine for the state of New York, and we should not be using that level of rhetoric, and he knows it's not true. But again, this is all a Republican power grab. This is Dean Skelos and his Republican party not happy with the fact that they have lost power for the first time in a long time, and they will stop at nothing to bring the Republicans back into power.
So why did the two Democrats, Hiram Monserrat and Pedro Espada, who represent urban districts in Queens and the Bronx, decide to vote for their leader?
Well, it's really not about Hiram Monserrat and Pedro Espada. It's really about Dean Skelos and a Republican Party power grab who were able to orchestrate this coup.
I mean, you know, Republicans are going to vote for Republicans. Democrats would be expected to vote for Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened here in the case of those two Democrats.
Right. Well, they were able to find two individuals who were willing to join them, which is unfortunate. However, I think it's obvious that they've done this before. I mean, in years prior, it's been other legislators that they've been able to lure over to work with their conference. But as a Democrat who believes in core Democratic principles and how a progressive movement is better for the state of New York, it's obvious that this is clearly on the shoulders of the Republican conference for doing this, for turning back the clock 40 years. And let's think for a second, Brian, about how this will, I mean, we have to look past the politics here for a minute. What will this mean for affordable housing in the city of New York? What will this mean for repeal of vacancy decontrol, for education equity, for the rights of immigrants?
What do you think it will mean?
The Republican Party has proven throughout these years to have no interest at all in any of the points I just outlined. So if we want to talk about reforms, we're not going to go into any form of inclusive government in any way.
It's still the same individuals in the Senate. So do you think that Pedro Espada,
yes,
whose vote is crucial on vacancy decontrol, is going to vote with the landlords now rather than the tenants, whereas he wouldn't have last week?
Like I said before, this is about Dean Skelos and the Republicans. They have, in their new rules, still concentrate power within their leader. And I believe that the Republican conference as a whole, is a very conservative conference, and they are not interested in any of the progressive reforms that I outlined.
Are you saying that with Skelos in control as majority leader, that the vacancy control rollback bill, in other words, this bill that would keep more apartments in rent stabilization, that bill won't even come to the floor now?
I have no idea. I have no idea what they plan to do. But I can tell you that it's important to judge people not only on what they say they're going to do, but let's also look at what they have done over the years. And looking back, the Republicans had 40 years to make changes. And in the last few years, they had changes to help save Mitchell-Lama apartments, which they were not interested in at all. They had ways to save rent-stabilized and affordable apartments. They were not interested. So here we are at the 11th hour trying to figure out a solution. But the truth is...
But if Monserrat and Espada or two other Democrats don't vote with them on any of these bills, they won't get their way.
It is still a power grab, and it has created such a level of chaos within the Senate that it's very hard to do anything substantive right now.
What's your best understanding, Senator Serrano, as to where Senator Monserrat stands? He's apparently wavering in which party he's going to support.
Right. I have no idea. I haven't spoken with Senator Monserrat. And again, like I've stated over and over, it's really not about him. It's really not about Pedro Espada. It's about what the Democratic Conference has been able to achieve, the level of chaos. They've been obstructionists all year. When it comes to floor proceedings and legislation on the floor and the budget as well. And I think that this is just them trying to undo what was done in a legal election. What they were not able to do in the ballot box, they are now attempting to do through this coup. And not only the coup attempt, but also to create disarray within the Democratic Conference. And I think it's important that we stay unified.
Senator Serrano, it's also, according to a New York Times article yesterday, about a rivalry in the legislature between black elected officials and Latino elected officials, and that Latino elected officials have felt dissed and an unequal junior partner in the black-Latino caucus and coalitions, and that there are Latino members of the legislature, Democrats in the Assembly, Democrats in the Senate, who maybe privately, but who are cheering Montserrat and Espada doing this as Latino members, and Espada becoming the state Senate president as a result, because they felt dissed by Malcolm Smith, African-American leader, and other black members of the legislature. Anything to that in your opinion?
No, in my opinion, no. I come from a long line, Brian, as you know, my father, who's been in Congress for many, many years. I come from a long line of coalition building. In the African-American and Latino community, when we work together very well, and we continue to do so. And I've been very happy under the leadership of Malcolm Smith, and I've been very happy with my African-American colleagues in the state Senate. And I don't agree that there is this deep rift. I think that there is actually a lot of working together on progressive issues, because for me, that transcends ethnic politics. Are we able to preserve affordability in the state of New York? Are we able to have a path to citizenship for immigrants? That, to me, trumps ethnicity. So I think that that is overblown. And again, that's probably another tactic of the Republicans to create chaos.
By the way, where are you on Montserrat and Espada being damaged goods? You heard Senator Marcelino say, oh, when they were voting with the Democrats, nobody was complaining about these allegations against them. Now, all of a sudden that they crossed to support the Republicans, everybody's saying, oh, these people are under indictment, these people are under investigation.
No, I can't speculate on that. I think that that is probably what they want us to focus on. But we have to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that in these recent elections, for the first time in over 40 years, the Democrats seized control of the Senate because the people have said enough is enough. But now the clock has been turned back. So it's really not about these individuals. It's not about any individual. It is about a bigger movement that the people of the state of New York asked for. And I find it so ironic that the Republicans now seem to care what good government groups say when before they never listened to them and we were always on the good side.
Okay.
And now it's important that we continue to stay true to our beliefs, our progressive beliefs as a conference.
So on one progressive belief, can you confirm the press reports that Democratic Senator Tom Duane of Manhattan is considering joining the Republican majority? He's not going to become a Republican, but he'll vote for Skelos as majority leader as well, so that gay marriage will come to the floor of the Senate?
I have not spoken to Senator Duane, but I would have to tell you, I know him well. He's a friend, and I seriously doubt that he would side with the Republican conference.
State Senator Jose Serrano of the Bronx. The madness continues in Albany. We'll continue to cover it. Thank you very much.